Hello and welcome to Press TV News Analysis. I'm Kavitha Faye. In a matter of days, France's involvement in Mali has morphed from air raids to troops on the ground and into a promise to keep troops there until Mali is back on its feet. Western countries have voiced fears that Mali could become al-Qaeda's leading global safe haven and be used to launch attacks on targets in Europe, the very same fighters they support in fighting the government in Syria. In this news analysis, we will ask that question in our in-depth coverage of Mali, examine France's interests, and what kind of endgame France has, if any. Is France's offensive on Mali, as the fighters have warned, to become France's Afghanistan?
France's military intervention in the Republic of Mali is turning into a full-scale war now. The French military has launched a ground incursion followed by an aerial bombardment in Diabali, a town seized by fighters on Monday. Hundreds of Malian and French troops have also been dispatched to the capital, Bamako. Paris launched its offensive in its former colony on Friday. French President François Hollande says the decision was fraught with consequences, and the delay would have allowed the rebels to take over the entire country. But is France's intervention aimed at saving the country? Paris faces many of the same questions as Washington did when it launched its wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. France claims the aim of its military intervention in Mali is to create a solid political system in the West African nation.
It's a no-win situation for France and the other NATO countries involved in this operation. They do not have a clue in regard to the concrete conditions that exist on the ground inside of northern and central Mali.
The situation in Mali is being compared to Syria, a country where al-Qaeda-linked militants are being backed by the West, and the Malian armed groups are fighting with weapons France sent to extremist Salafists in Libya in 2011.
I believe that the situation should be resolved internally. I do not believe that that even should be a regional force entering Mali if it is not independent of France and the United States. If they are working at the behest of the imperialist powers, there will be no solution in Mali or any other region.
Several NATO members have already backed the French military incursion, with the U.S. pledging to contribute transport planes, air refueling tankers, and drones. Analysts do not rule out an American push on the matter.
I would describe as a trio of evil, where three imperialist powers are jointly invading a part of Africa, the Mali part of Africa.
The CIA has been taking a close interest in Mali for months. Just recently, the U.S. military unveiled plans to shift troops to its Africa command as part of the Pentagon's new strategy. French forces may well be boosted by their NATO allies, but a long and rocky path awaits them. Fighters from Mali have launched an attack on a gas facility in southern Algeria, killing two people, one British and one French national. They've also abducted dozens of foreign nationals there. It's too early to say what the real motive behind a military campaign in Africa is, but one thing remains certain, that the war has opened a new chapter in human catastrophe in the region.
Well, let me introduce our guests in this edition of the News Analysis to get their thoughts on this. From the Executive Intelligence Review, we have Lawrence Freeman joining us from Washington. We have journalist and filmmaker David Lawley joining us from London, and founder of StopImperialism.com, Eric Dreitzer, who joins us from New York. Gentlemen, welcome. Lawrence Freeman, let me start with you. When France began these air raids, it stressed it wanted to pass the baton quickly to Mali's neighbors. And it appears now there's an about-face from President François Hollande, who announced it would stay long enough to rid Mali of insurgents and ensure stability. What's your reading into this about-face?
I don't think there was an about-face. I think that the French intervention is not going to succeed. The goals are not clearly set. There's actually no strategic goal. The problem with the neighboring countries, ECOWAS and Burkina Faso, Nigeria, Niger, is that they don't have the capability, the training, to deal with this kind of asymmetric warfare, especially in the desert. So this is a failed operation from the beginning, which could explode and actually engulf the Sahel, Sahara, West Africa in more conflict. And the problem is you're seeing the same crew that launched a war to overthrow President Muammar Gaddafi, the United States, Britain, and France. They're taking slightly different roles, but they're all involved in this. And this represents a total failure of policy, especially the fact that the Mali situation was extremely, was made worse by the overthrow of Gaddafi and the flooding of trained soldiers and equipment and arms into northern Mali. So the whole approach of the West has to be scrapped. There's an approach of genocide against Africa. We need an approach of development, economic growth, infrastructure projects to get water into various parts of Niger using the Niger River. And I don't think this approach is going to work at all for the French. And I think we're going to potentially see some major disasters along the road.
Well, David Lally, our guest there, has a point in terms of, from what I'm construing out of that, is that this should be an African problem maintained by Africa in terms of its approach. That's actually what the UN resolution did state, didn't it? That it should be countries within Africa to approach the situation. Then why are we seeing this France's aggression first? And of course, we're waiting to see if other NATO countries, which at this point are contributing, not troops, but as to logistics, et cetera.
Yeah, it's a very strange situation. I think François Hollande seems to have completely shot himself in the foot, saying, giving the excuse that the reason they've gone into Mali is to stop the terrorism spreading into Europe, where, as we've already seen from the history of Afghanistan and Iraq, that's exactly what will now happen. As has already been demonstrated in Algeria with this hostage taking, the situation is already exacerbated and getting far worse. And there are already seven French hostages in Mali amongst the rebels, as well as another five Europeans. So the Al-Qaeda, if you like, the group of who are holding these people, they now have the strong point. They can flood out of, as soon as the French move north, they can flood into Algeria. They can absolutely start a war in France, a terrorist war with car bombs and so on. They probably have the capability to do that. They knew this was going to happen. You know, France has been saying all along that they will go in by about September, giving the Islamists or the Al-Qaeda groups plenty of warning as to be ready to retaliate. So now that they've gone in early, not only gone in early, but gone in at all they're doing is exactly what they're trying to say they're not doing, which is going to be bringing the war into Europe and Algeria, which is unbelievable. I think it's a very, very ill-considered act on the behalf of France.
Well, perhaps, Eric Dreitzer, it's time you shed more light about the Al-Qaeda, the support that it has received from not only France, but some of its allies. Because Al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb, AQIM, is closely allied to the Libyan Islamic Fighting Group. Tell us more about that, because wasn't it France and its other NATO allies that provided weapons, training, and even aircraft to support them in the overthrow of Libya's government? And, of course, these very same ones, the LIFG fighters, which now with French arms are fighting the Syrian government.
Yes, that's correct. And in fact, I would stress that it's a little bit more complicated than that. We know that the alliance between Al-Qaeda and the Islamic Maghreb and the Libyan Islamic Fighting Group is a strong one. We've even heard direct quotations from Al-Qaeda leaders to that effect. We saw that the Libyan Islamic Fighting Group, under the leadership of Belhaj and other individuals, took control over Tripoli and really asserted much of the control over many different parts of Libya. Al-Qaeda and the Islamic Maghreb is a little bit more complex, because this is an organization that was originally based in Algeria and fought a war against the government of Algeria, which destroyed much of the AQIM infrastructure. Remember that Algeria has a very robust state apparatus that was able to counter the terrorist tactics used by Al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb. And so they migrated south and west into Mali and essentially began to create this situation by usurping control over the movement Movement for the Liberation of Azawad from the Tuareg rebels who were coming back from the war in Libya. So there was that offshoot of Al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb moving into Mali. And then from there, you had two other groups that really are under the grander umbrella of Al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb, those being Ansar al-Din and Mujahid, the Movement for Unity and Jihad of West Africa. So these two organizations are the ones that have the force on the ground in Mali, and they are really falling under this broader category of AQIM. And these forces are the ones who are supposedly being fought by the French and by the international force, although of course we know that it was those same international imperial powers which unleashed these forces into Mali. So essentially it's a self-replicating cycle that the West has created in order to legitimize a military intervention.
Lawrence Freeman, I'd like to go against what you said, that this is not a war that France should be involved in, along with some of the other NATO allies. I'm going to use Yves Borys, Associate Director of the Foundation for Strategic Research. He has said, we have practiced this type of war for a long time. There is a plan, which is reality, which is really to cut and eradicate those bands of terrorists and bandits. Do you think that this is maybe part of this, what some call a premeditated geopolitical reordering in Africa that began with Libya, and now we're seeing Mali, and of course Syria on the other side?
Your previous speaker pointed in the direction of the hypocrisy and irony of the situation, because it is true that, look, the Obama administration, together with Sarkozy and Cameron, they waged a war to overthrow President Gaddafi, and they worked with the Islamic Fighting Group of Libya and many other groups and the leaders that were discussed. And now, we're fighting so-called Al-Qaeda in Mali, which are the same forces that we joined with in Libya, and then, in fact, we're joining with in Syria to overthrow the government there. So if you're going to fight terrorism, you have to actually go after the people behind it. And everybody knows that you have the Saudi royal family, which works with the British royal family and the Qataris, and they are funding the Wahhabites and the Salafists, and these are people who have run all over West Africa, pushing and forming these groups, which now allegedly were fighting. So this is not a war to eliminate terrorism. This is now the third war that France is involved in Africa. The policy towards Africa from the financial elite, the City of London, is genocide, is not to allow these countries to be stable. I mean, everybody said how stable Mali was and what a great democracy it was, and it collapsed instantaneously. You see the same thing in the Central African Republic. Nigeria's in trouble. Congo's in trouble. South Africa's in trouble. The West has abandoned the policies of the past to act like such as Franklin Roosevelt, to develop strong countries based on national economic development and real democracy where people can participate in the policies of developing their country. That has been abandoned, and the British policy of colonialism over Africa has really continued to this day. And that's what we're seeing in the guise of this latest attack by the French, but thoroughly backed up by Obama and Cameron.
Well, David Lawley, there's a question that comes into place here, and that's about the sovereignty of a country like Mali. When you have another country coming in, such as France is, and at this point we're going to wait and see if other countries come in, why is it that we're looking at countries come in when France clearly in the offset said that they just wanted to reinforce the central government in Mali, but that clearly is not the case right now?
Well, I think it was the Mali government have invited the French to come over. But, you know, once again, nobody really understands the real reason, apart from, as your last speaker has just said, possibly imperialism. I mean, it's fascinating to think, what has Mali got? Mining and agriculture are the two main things. There is a vast mineral wealth there. But imperialism, it's a strange thing for France. It used to be a colony of theirs, but it does smack of destabilization and the profit that can be made in conflicts with the constant selling of these arms. And as we've said, the Tuaregs have just brought all these arms down from Libya and now using them against the French who bought them off. I mean, it just smacks of disbelief. But again, like all these places, the West does not seem to understand that Africa belongs to Africa and the Middle East belongs to the Middle East. And until America, Britain and France and so on and NATO come out of these places, more and more innocent lives are going to be lost. And that's always going to be my concern, is that once again, you know, we're going to see, I mean, Syria now, it's up to 65,000 people who've lost their lives while we sit back and watch this happening. And the United Nations, what is that all about now? There's no, Kofi Annan resigning from there. There's no world anything to stand up against these Western powers who just think that they can carry on colonizing these African states. Where, of course, it's none of their business. I mean, I think personally that it is an African problem that the Africans were going to sort out, and they have had some success in other countries sorting out their own local disputes. But it has nothing to do whatsoever with terrorism as the excuse they're giving, and it can only exacerbate the problem and create more deaths throughout the world, not just in Africa.
Eric Drake, perhaps you can connect the dots for us here, looking at a few weeks back when the U.S. announced that it's going to send troops to Africa, 35 countries, I believe, is what they said, specifically Libya, Sudan, Algeria, and Niger, and according to them, to prepare for any advances from al-Qaeda-linked groups. So here we have now France in terms of what's going on. How do you see all of this tying in together in terms of what plans there may be in the works?
Well, the invasion of Africa of 2013 is really what it is, and this is something that was planned for quite a while. It really should be understood as the tremendous expansion of AFRICOM and the American presence on the continent. And from the broadest perspective, it is to counter the influence of China, both the economic influence that they have and now a growing social influence, as people throughout Africa understand that although China is enriching itself, China offers the possibility of economic progress, while the Western imperial powers really offer nothing but the continuation of colonialism or a neo-colonial period. But again, I think it's important to remember that the United States is not exactly in the background here. Yes, it's true that France is the one that's doing the bombing and France is the one that's sending the ground troops in at the moment, but the United States has been inside of Mali for quite a while, and going back to even before the coup against the Touareg government last March, we know that from a Washington Post report that there were a number, I think it was four or five U.S. Marines who were killed in a car accident in Mali before the coup even happened. So the question would be, why was the U.S. military already present in Mali before a coup that was carried out by a U.S.-trained military officer? So the United States fingerprints are all over this entire conflict in Mali. And to take it one step further, it's part of the broader agenda of creating chaos, destabilizing nations in the region, thereby legitimizing the expansion of AFRICOM. AFRICOM, which has existed to this point in a quasi-advisory capacity, wants to become an active military force. And the only way that they can do that is by destroying sovereign governments. And it should also be noted that the Touareg government was not exactly a sovereign government. This was a government that had bent to the will of the United States and the French many times in the past, and that's why it enjoyed the support of Washington and Paris. As soon as they destabilize that country, they create an opportunity for themselves to come in, to exploit the resources, to create a terrorist haven, and to thereby legitimize further military expansion in the continent.
And of course, we're looking at a spillover right now, Lawrence Freeman, in terms of what's going on in Algeria, of which situations are unfolding there. Are we looking at Algeria being pulled into this conflict?
Well, that is something that I think many people are giving serious thought to, because frankly, the West African states are not going to be able to deal with this kind of unconventional warfare. Algeria does have the capability to some degree, and allegedly the Algerians provided or allowed permission for the French to cross over their airspace into Mali with the bombing raids. But whether Algeria gets involved or not is not clear. First of all, they're probably fairly suspicious of the French. And two is that both the what we call AQIM and the Tuaregs are forces of people that could be used against them in their own country. So with that, but this really brings out the fact there's no strategic long-range goal for how to deal with Mali, for how to deal with the Sahel, for how to deal with the Saharan countries. I mean, you've had a century of droughts in Mali. You've had over 10 million people in food insecurity. Where is the investment to bring water, to invest in infrastructure, to grow food? There's none of that. The so-called liberation of Mali by the French is a very vague term. And if this thing expands with 2,500 troops, then you could see an expansion across the whole region. And I agree with some of the earlier comments. This is not going to contain terrorism. This is going to spread terrorism. So there's not a real, honest, truthful attitude by the French, by the Americans, Obama himself personally, a so-called the son of Africa, by the British to really help Africa. And this is the problem we have suffered for many decades. In my organization, we're trying to create a paradigm shift where we actually get countries combined together to promote economic development and sovereignty, working with all the countries around the world, including Africa. And what we're seeing right now is an attack on sovereignty, an attack on the people of Africa, and it's not going to lead to any fruitful endeavor or consequence coming out of this effort by the French. I'm very, very fearful for Africa at this point.
Well, David Lally, when we want to perhaps look at it in at another angle, is there a possibility, based on what has happened in Libya and some of these fighters in terms of different groups coming together and fighting the Mali government, that perhaps right now there's a scramble mode that's going on? This is looking at it at another angle in order for them to try to maintain these fighters. I mean, we're looking at how these fighters in Syria are now somewhat out of their control in some respects. And now these fighters here coming from the blowback from the situation in Libya after that war. Any possibilities of that?
Well, as you say, I think how this pans out is very hard to see. But, you know, they're going to spread out. This is an enormous place, almost the size of Spain, the Sahara Desert. And now that the French are moving north, all the Tuaregs, who are, after all, nomadic people who can, spread out and go into the Saharan hinterland at any point and hide away. And, of course, across the porous border into Algeria, I do think it will spread into Algeria and possibly Nigeria. And of course, then it will go on for years. I mean, when you start a war like this without actually thinking it through and seeing what on earth your end game or result is going to be, all you can do is look forward to another 10 or 15 years of terrorism, car bombs, and so on. It won't be long before we see some sort of hits in Bamako, in the capital. But the question is, how long before it spreads? It's already in Algeria because we've got those hostage situations with Americans and British hostages being taken, which may well bring them into the military strikes. But then, of course, could spread, westwards towards Nigeria, and of course into the capital Bamako through terrorist strikes, car bombs, suicide bombers, and so on. And there doesn't seem to be any thought whatsoever into the after game or the end game of this conflict at all.
Very well, Eric Grazer, final comments from you. The fighters have said France's offensive is going to be France's Afghanistan. Is that how you see it?
To some extent, I suppose that there's some logic to that. Although it's important to note that, like with Afghanistan, we can pinpoint certain individuals who represent a tangible link between the imperial powers and what's going on in Mali. For instance, the leader of the Ansar al-Din organization, a gentleman by the name of Iyad Ag-Ghali, who was a representative to Saudi Arabia and is closely linked to the Wahhabi stream coming out of Saudi Arabia, infiltrating into Mali. This is the same person who was in charge of a negotiation with Al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb. He represents a bridge between Saudi Arabia, AQIM, Ansar al-Din, and the Mujahid group. So we can look at certain individuals and key groups that represent these overlaps, and it is those relationships which are going to expand and to infiltrate the rest of the region. And just to sort of clarify a comment that was made earlier by one of the guests, it is not the Tuareg rebels themselves who are actually engaged in this fight with the French. The Tuaregs had a national liberation movement that was essentially usurped from them by AQIM, by the jihadis, many of whom infiltrated into the country from Algeria and elsewhere. So we have a multitude of groups who are working to some degree in concert, though really independent of each other, while the imperial powers come in to execute their will in West Africa.
And thank you very much. We're going to unfortunately have to leave it there. We're fresh out of time. I'm sorry to jump in. Let me thank our guests, Executive Intelligence Review Lawrence Freeman, journalist and filmmaker David Lawley, and founder of StopImperialism.com, Eric Dreitzer. And thank you for watching another edition of the News Analysis from Mikova Tahweh and the entire team here in the capital, Tehran. It's goodbye.